Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
My fellow Americans, last night when I spoke with you about the fall of Rome, I knew at that moment that troops of the United States and our allies were crossing the channel in another and greater operation. It has come to pass with success thus far. And so, in this poignant hour, I ask you to join with me in prayer. Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity.
What you're listening to is the prayer by FDR, the famous D-Day landing prayer that he prayed with the nation on June 6, 1944, and announced to the nation by way of prayer that the invasion of Europe was underway. This Monday, June 6, will be the 72nd anniversary of that D-Day landing, and of course the announcement of that by FDR. You're listening to News in Focus. I'm your host, Chris Long, and this hour we're going to talk about the D-Day landing prayer project. Well, this is a initiative of the Ohio Christian Alliance. The idea came to us that during the new term of Congress back in 2011, just an idea that had come, really a divine inspiration. I'd said to my wife, I said, you know, I've got an idea. I've got an idea to introduce legislation that will add FDR's D-Day landing prayer at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C., and I just know who I'm going to approach to introduce this bill, and it was none other than Ohio's own Congressman Bill Johnson of Ohio's 6th District, and he's with us on the phone. Congressman, welcome to the program.
Great to be with you, Chris. Great to be with you.
Well, thank you, my friend. You know, that was 5 years ago, of course, and you agreed. In fact, you said it was fortuitous that I asked you, that you were serving on several key committees, and that you would be delighted to introduce the legislation. And of course, that year you did introduce it. It went through the committee process. It had some really interesting things that occurred during that time, because we did have an opponent testimony from the administration, and it was the Undersecretary of the Interior who came in to committee to oppose it and said that the prayer's inclusion would take away from the grandeur, in his words, of the memorial. We're talking about the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C., that sits between the Washington Monument, the Lincoln Memorial, that was commissioned back in 2004, finally recognizing the 16 million Americans that served us in World War II. One of the things that these veterans recognized is that there was no reference to God, a prayer, or scripture verse anywhere on the memorial, and they lamented that. In fact, they said, and they'd point that area of the wall, and said it's missing the four most important words, "So help us God." And they were referring to the Declaration of War by FDR that he gave on December 8th, 1941, in front of Congress, when he said that we will see this thing through to the end, "So help us God." So we thought of this, including this prayer, really, which is a wonderful presidential prayer that really articulates the reason for the conflict, and that these men and women served our country. Many of them paid the ultimate sacrifice, and we just observed that with Memorial Day. Your thoughts?
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, Chris. You know, there are no, there's not a better way, not a more fitting way to honor the sacrifices that our brave soldiers from that greatest generation paid with the landing at Normandy, to face down tyranny in Europe. It was a great day for America. It was a great day for freedom. And, you know, I can tell you, being a veteran myself, Chris, there are no atheists in foxholes.
Mm.
And so those veterans that that have fought and bled and sacrificed, they know that they are oftentimes faced with situations where the only place they have to turn is God Almighty to help them through. And this was certainly one of those cases. And our president knew that going in. That's why he offered the prayer. I am so very, very proud that you asked me, and humbled that you asked me to be a part of this project. And I can't wait to see that prayer in stride.
Well, that's right. And, of course, it's been quite a process. And that year, of course, you had tremendous success in the U.S. House of Representatives, as it was H.R. 2070, the D-Day Landing Prayer Act. It made its way through committee. It passed committee, went on to the floor, and was passed overwhelmingly by both Democrats and Republicans, 286, I think, or I forget the actual number, but only just a handful opposing votes. So it passed overwhelmingly. It was not taken up in the Senate that year. Harry Reid, of course, was the Senate president. It was a presidential election year, 2012. But then Senator Portman teamed up with us, and he introduced it in the Senate. So there was a Senate version and a House version, and we are so thankful as an organization and the people that supported this, and the veterans and their families, because both of you then committed to reintroducing the legislation in the next term of Congress, and that's when things really got going. But again, we did not know, because Mr. Obama was reelected. His Undersecretary of the Interior, which would represent the administration, opposed it. It was an interesting exchange going back to the committee in the first term when you introduced this bill. Secretary Salazar of the Interior, you asked him a few weeks later, after a firestorm really happened across the country, the Associated Press picked up that story and ran with it. You know, we're a state organization. We don't have a national footprint per se. So we didn't really have a way to get this out nationally. But, you know, God works in mysterious ways. And from their opposition, this thing went viral on the Drudge Report, FoxNews.com, the Associated Press, and all the articles that we read. Basically, folks were, and I love to watch the read the after comments, people were saying, what idiot would oppose this legislation, because they thought it was such a great idea. And so the next time that you had an opportunity to talk to the Secretary of the Interior, Mr. Salazar, you said, sir, your subordinate came in, opposed this legislation. Is that your opinion? And he said, no, sir, it is not.
So, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, thank God.
That was a great day.
It really was. It was, you know, that was awesome. And so, again, you know, thanks to you, and you gave a great speech on the House floor. And I will never forget this, because standing up in the well of the House, you gave your presentation, and then none other than Congressman Dennis Kucinich, you know, obviously not a very conservative representative, he stood up to speak to the bill. And I think you kind of braced yourself and thought, what is Dennis going to say? And, you know, just such a really honorable and moving speech by Dennis Kucinich. I mean, really, just I choke up just thinking about it, because he said, I stand today to support my friend in this legislation. I stand not only for myself, but my father, Frank Kucinich, who served honorably in World War II. And he quoted by memory the later portion of this prayer. And he says, I'm in full support. I think it took everybody back, didn't it?
Yeah, it really did take everybody back. And it just goes to show, Chris, that this legislation had broad bipartisan support. It was not a political issue.
That's right.
It was an American value issue. And I believe that even those that opposed it, I think they just opposed it for political purposes. I don't think they stopped and thought about really what they were in opposition of. And had they had it to do over again, they may have reflected differently. But I'm just very, very grateful we got it done. And Dennis, great, you're right. Dennis Kucinich gave a great speech on the House floor that day.
He really did, and it was so. I have that all recorded because it just was so moving, and it was historic. And this is going to be a benefit to future generations because you and I have had the opportunity and privilege of going down to the World War II Memorial when honor flights were coming in over the last 5 years and meet with them and tell them about this project. First of all, of course, thanking them for their service to our country and meeting these wonderful men, really heroes, in my opinion, that great World War II generation and being able to do that. You actually attended a few honor flights as an attendant. Let's not forget Poppy Fowler.
Absolutely. I was with Poppy on Memorial Day. He rode with me in a Memorial Day parade here in my district. He is still spry. his eyes still have a twinkle in them, and he talks very somberly about the men that were lost in his unit.
Mm.
They're flying bombing missions over Iwo Jima in the early days of the war. That generation, Chris, we could really use a double dose of their patriotism, their courage, and the values that they taught us. And it's sad that that much of America has long forgotten what those greatest generations of World War I and World War II veterans taught us. And my goodness, I wish we could go back to that.
Well, that's right. You know, the president, and we're going to talk about President FDR. In fact, in the second portion of our program, we have historian Bill Fetter who will be joining us. He actually is a very key part in all this because it was his education of the D-Day prayer, something he sends out every day in your inbox, in your email, called the American Minute. And probably about 8 years ago or so, 9 years ago, I'm reading the American Minute on June 6th, and I'm reading this prayer that FDR prayed on the morning of the D-Day landings, and I just thought, this is awesome. So I Googled it, and of course, the audio is out there. Those of you, hang on later on in the program, we'll play the prayer in its entirety. You'll be able to hear it, FDR in his own words. You know, and Congressman, he actually hand-wrote this prayer. This wasn't one that was constructed by, his speechwriter. This is one that he wrote with his own hand. This was a president who was struggling with fighting a war on two fronts, in the European and Asiatic theaters, and a world conflict, and knowing the casualties and the price that Americans were paying, and many families who were bereaved of their sons who were dying on battlefields. This was a man who felt all that very keenly, who wrote this prayer. And so now this prayer will be for the ages, as it will be written in stone and added to the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to News in Focus, a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance. My special guest this evening is Congressman Bill Johnson of Ohio's 6th District, the original sponsor of the D-Day Landing Prayer Act. And those of you that goes to our website, you'll see actually FDR's prayer is there, and of course the history of this legislation. And we're going to talk about Phase 2 because it actually was passed by Congress in 2014. In fact, Senator Portman took a very critical time to go to the Senate floor and to ask for a unanimous consent. And in fact, there was a flurry of texts and emails from the senator, and his staff called me, and then the senator called me himself, and he said, Chris, I'm going to attempt a unanimous consent measure on the floor. And Bill, of course, you were working it in the House, and and that's really a Hail Mary. We're talking about you have to if one senator objects, it stops the bill. So
No, that wasn't a Hail Mary, Chris. That was a quarterback sneak. That one went right underneath, and they never saw it coming.
It was really something, and of course, the having the VA scandal that week broke in the media, of course, with the way that the VA was mishandling, treating our vets through their medical services. Of course, also the administration had released 5 Taliban terrorists for the exchange of Bergdahl. Many people believe that he actually left his post, was captured, or went over to the enemy. That still is a lot of question about that. Was he a deserter? And so the environment was such in which I don't think that there was an interest to oppose it. And Senator Portman, of course, offered it, and he called back and he says, "Chris, I have momentous news. The bill has passed by unanimous consent, the U.S. Senate. It would go over to the House 1 week later, pass by majority, and then onto the president's desk, in which he quietly signed it on June 30th of 2014. Well, now we're into phase two, Congressman. And of course, this is 5 years since you first carried the bill in the House. And phase two is, in fact, we did not know what the Friends of the World War II Memorial, how they would respond, because, of course, they're very covetous of the monument, as they should be. They're the caretakers of it. The monies that are raised to for the upkeep of the monument, as you might know, they're not tax dollars. So private contributions keep the upkeep of, even though it's on the mall in Washington, it's private donations that keep it clean and upkeep and all that. And the various activities that they have, it, especially on Monday when they have the observance for the D-Day landing 72nd anniversary. Anyways, Holly Rotondi is the executive director. So I went down there to meet with them and members of the U.S. Park Service. And, of course, I kind of braced myself because, you know, you kind of won the battle, but we're wondering what would it be like to deal with the bureaucracy of Washington. And I know your frustration with that, being a congressman now for several terms. But we went down there and met with them. And you know what? It was really, my wife and I, we did a walk around as to where this might be placed and talked about some ideas. And they basically recruited architects who have drawn up three different suggestions for the placement of the prayer. And you know, they have embraced this completely. In fact, they said on their board is the grandson, Toby Roosevelt, of FDR. And I had not reached out to the Roosevelt family during this whole thing because it wasn't really about, like you said, the politics of it. It was simply a historical presidential prayer we thought would be very fitting and a great tribute to the World War II generation so that other generations could read and understand why they fought and why they died. Well, he said that the Roosevelt family was thrilled about this, and they said now it's finally complete. So they have some great plans of where it will be placed and give prominence and be a great and beautiful addition. And Congressman, I just wanted to thank you because we're almost there. Probably the next year or so we're going to have opportunity to see its placement there. So I look forward to going down there with you for the ribbon cutting when all this is said and done.
We'll be there with bells on, Chris, and thank you for your leadership in this. It's an important legacy of America. It's an important statement that an American president would lead our nation in prayer on such a important and solemn occasion. And thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of it.
Well, that's right, Congressman. And of course, this is an important election year. You know, Americans are really starting to think about, you know, what is the next step for our nation? And of course, there are so many threats in the world today. And we give proper thanks to our veterans, of course, on Memorial Day, those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice. Give us your thoughts of, you know, during this summer and as we head into fall, what are your thoughts concerning all this?
Well, I can tell you that we were 100 and almost 42 years into our journey as a nation, Chris, before we came up with the idea that we are Americans first. Prior to World War One, we were very, very focused and identified with our colonies first, then our states. That went all the way through the Civil War and years after. But in 1917, with the sinking of the Lusitania and having to enter World War One, from then through 1945, those greatest generations taught us that it didn't matter what color your skin was, what your economic status was, what your religious faith was.
Congressman, are you still with us? I know that.
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. Yeah, we can. Go on. Continue.
Yes. That greatest generation of 1817 taught us what it meant to be Americans first. It did not matter what side of the economic.
We're having some difficulty with Congressman Johnson's cell phone. But again, this has just been a wonderful time of the progress, and I agree with the congressman, that we as a nation need to rally together as Americans, not divided by, you know, political party. But this is a time we need to come together. And as people of faith, we need to pray. And that's why later this year, and I think we've lost Congressman Johnson. And I know he's traveling, and I want to thank him for coming on today. But we're going to actually pray. We're going to play the prayer for you in its entirety before we go to break. And then on the other side, we're going to be joined by Bill Federer from the American Minute to talk about the faith of FDR. But anyways, I agree with the congressman that this is a time for us to rally together as Americans, and we need to pray. And you're going to be hearing more about a prayer gathering in October at the Ohio State House with Franklin Graham, who is making his way around to all 50 state capitals and calling the people of God to pray for America. Well, with that right now, let's go to the prayer itself. This is FDR praying with the nation on June 6, 1941, announcing the invasion of Europe was underway.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
My fellow Americans, last night when I spoke with you about the fall of Rome, I knew at that moment that troops of the United States and our allies were crossing the channel in another and greater operation. It has come to pass with success thus far. And so, in this poignant hour, I ask you to join with me in prayer. Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity. Lead them straight and true. Give strength to their arms, stoutness to their hearts, steadfastness in their faith. They will need thy blessings. Their road will be long and hard. For the enemy is strong. He may hurl back our forces. Success may not come with rushing speed, but we shall return again and again. And we know that by thy grace and by the righteousness of our cause, our sons will triumph. They will be sore tried by night and by day without rest, until the victory is won. The darkness will be rent by noise and flame. Men's souls will be shaken with the violences of war. For these men are lately drawn from the ways of peace. They fight not for the lust of conquest. They fight to end conquest. They fight to liberate. They fight to let justice arise and tolerance and goodwill among all thy people. They yearn but for the end of battle, for their return to the haven of home. Some will never return. Embrace these, Father, and receive them, thy heroic servants, into thy kingdom. And for us at home, fathers, mothers, children, wives, sisters, and brothers of brave men overseas, whose thoughts and prayers are ever with them, help us, Almighty God, to rededicate ourselves in renewed faith in thee in this hour of great sacrifice. Many people have urged that I call the nation into a single day of special prayer. But because the road is long and the desire is great, I ask that our people devote themselves in a continuance of prayer. As we rise to each new day, and again when each day is spent, let words of prayer be on our lips, invoking thy help to our efforts. Give us strength, too. Strengthen our daily tasks to redouble the contributions we make in the physical and the material support of our armed forces. And let our hearts be stout to wait out the long travel, to bear sorrows that may come, to impart our courage unto our sons, wheresoever they may be. And, O Lord, give us faith. Give us faith in thee, faith in our sons, faith in each other, faith in our united crusade. Let not the keenness of our spirit ever be dulled. Let not the impacts of temporary events, of temporal matters of but fleeting moment, let not these deter us in our unconquerable purpose. With thy blessing, we shall prevail over the unholy forces of our enemy. Help us to conquer the apostles of greed and racial arrogances. Lead us to the saving of our country, and with our sister nations into a world unity that will spell a sure peace, a peace invulnerable to the schemings of unworthy men, and a peace that will let all men live in freedom, reaping the just rewards of their honest toil. Thy will be done, Almighty God. Amen.
And that is the prayer of FDR that he prayed with the nation on June 6, 1944. And that was the way in which he chose to announce to the nation that the liberation of Europe was underway. You're listening to News in Focus, a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back on the other side with Bill Fetter, the historian, to talk about the faith of FDR. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This program is sponsored by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger. A group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org. healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
And we're back, and with us on the phone is our good friend Bill Federer of the American Minute, who is also the author of many books, including What Every American Needs to Know About the Quran, and also Miracles, and of course, Encyclopedia of American Quotations. And again, Bill is traveling the country as he gives lectures and presentations in churches, and we'll give the information as to when you can book him as well, because he is coming to Ohio in July for the Council on National Policy meetings, and he's looking for a few churches to be able to speak to while he's in town. And we'll make sure that he gets gives you the contact information so that you can link up with Bill directly. Bill, welcome to the program.
Oh, Chris, great to be with you.
Well, thanks, Bill. In fact, I just had Congressman Bill Johnson of Ohio's 6th District. You'll remember he was our original sponsor of the D-Day Landing Prayer Act. And, of course, we were giving everyone an update as, in fact, Friends of the World War II Memorial are holding a 72nd anniversary of the D-Day landings at the memorial this coming Monday. I will be there. And phase two has now begun, that the legislation has passed Congress, signed by the president. And now, of course, the architects are drawing up plans for the proper placement of the prayer at the memorial so that people can come by, read this prayer that we just heard just before the break. And, of course, it's a very moving prayer by President FDR. And, in fact, you sent it out in your American Minute, and that was an inspiration to me. And then later when we approached the congressman about adding it to the memorial, and here we are, we're on the threshold of actually getting this thing included there in Washington. And I want you to be there for the ribbon cutting when all this takes place, and we can rejoice together.
Well, it's so important, Chris, the work that you're doing and bringing prayer back into the consciousness of our nation's capital at the World War II Memorial. You know, both General Douglas MacArthur acknowledged God, and General Eisenhower acknowledged God during World War II, and General Patton had his chaplain, James O'Neill, compose a prayer during the Battle of the Bulge, when it was so cloudy that the planes couldn't fly, and give his Third Army cover as it was coming to the rescue of the 101st Airborne. And they printed a prayer on 250,000 index cards, distributed them to the soldiers. They prayed it. The next day, the weather cleared, the planes could fly, and the Army was able to come to their rescue, and it broke the back of the Nazis there at the Battle of the Bulge. You know, General Douglas MacArthur there in the Philippines, he had heard about the terrible Bataan Death March, where over 10,000 died. And he said, "To the weeping mothers of its dead, I can only say that the sacrifice and halo of Jesus of Nazareth has descended upon their sons, and that God will take them unto himself."
Wow.
And there's such a tremendous acknowledgement of faith that the people that have a resistance to God have bent over backwards to try to erase this very important part of our heritage. And I so applaud you for being courageous, and Congressman Johnson, and all those that have had a part in bringing back to the country this tremendous prayer of Franklin Roosevelt on D-Day.
Well, that's right, Bill. And of course, this is the work that you do on a daily basis with the American Minute that is great for everyone who is on your email list. And we receive Today in American History and also World History and Faith in History. Your program on TCT television is a great inspiration to many. And it's keeping alive faith in history and how God has worked and interwoven his will throughout history. You know, at this time, people are wondering, and they look at the two candidates that lay before us as choices in the fall, barring some other kind of disruption in the nomination process. It looks like it's Donald Trump, and it looks like it's Hillary Clinton. And there was a conference call today with former Governor Mike Huckabee, himself a minister, and talking about, you know, how should we approach this election? Well, he talked about people of faith registering, preparing to vote. You know, it may not be their best choice, looking at, for instance, on the Republican side, Donald Trump. But God has used, you know, unbelievers in the past as the people of God have prayed. And so, you know, God will have his will, but God's people really need to pray. And I think that's why we talked about Franklin Graham going around to all 50 state capitals and holding prayer gatherings. And really, he is fulfilling his ministry of the mantle that he had received from his father, Billy Graham. And I think it's wonderful. In fact, in October, he'll be here in Ohio, the battleground state of Ohio. And we'll be gathering in a very impartial and nonpartisan way just to pray for our nation and pray for our state.
Well, Franklin Graham is doing a tremendous work, and I had the privilege of meeting him and many of his staff, and they know exactly what's going on in the world. They know the threats, and they know that God ultimately is the only answer to our situation and our country turning back to God. You know, I was reading Franklin Roosevelt and how he wrote the foreword to a Gideon's New Testament and Book of Psalms, published in 1941. And you open it up, and right there it says, "As Commander-in-Chief, I take pleasure in commending the reading of the Bible to all who serve in the armed forces of the United States." Hmm. Signed, Franklin D. Roosevelt. Could you imagine a Democrat president passing out New Testaments? You wonder what book might be passed out today, but this was just 70 years ago. Matter of fact, when in August 12th of 1943, President Roosevelt said this: 3 weeks after the armies of the Japanese launched their attack on Philippine soil, I sent a proclamation to the people of the Philippines that their freedom will be redeemed. The great day of your liberation will come as surely as there is a God in heaven. Wow. You can imagine if a politician said something like that today, there would be all these leftist groups that would go crazy. But again, this is a Democrat president just a mere 70 years ago.
Well, that's right. And of course, here in Ohio, down at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, just 3 weeks ago, a atheist group had a Bible removed from a Vietnam Memorial display at the base. And this has outraged many veterans and their families, just taking away a Bible that was on display. Bill, this is where we've come. And, this is why faith is under assault and why it's so important for people of faith to engage and to understand our history, and that it's very much akin to who we are as an American republic.
Well, it is. Here's another quote that President Roosevelt sent to the president of the Philippines, As Mena, in October 20th, 1944. He said, "On this occasion of the return of General MacArthur to Philippine soil with our airmen and soldiers and sailors, we renew our pledge, we and our Philippine brothers in arms, and with the help of Almighty God, we'll drive out the invader. We will destroy his power to wage war again, and we will restore a world of freedom, dignity, and freedom." But again, he acknowledges, with the help of Almighty God. This is important that we understand this history. One of the main things that men and women fought for was the freedom to worship God. Mm. And ironically, now that freedom is being taken away. And I think that if we don't renew our pledge like they did to preserve these freedoms, they will be gone. And one of the thoughts that comes to mind is, what happens once all the Christians are chased out of the military and all those holding traditional Judeo-Christian values? What do we think is going to happen next? And so the transgender movement is not just, they're not just content with coming out of the closet. They want to push those that don't agree with them into the closet. And then we see what has happened once militaries and governments have abandoned their faith that your life is sacred because you're made in the image of God. Well, it's not that long ago where in the 1930s, 20 million people were killed by their atheistic government in the Soviet Union under Stalin. And the 1950s, 80 million people were killed by an atheistic government in China. In the 1970s, a third of Cambodia, 2 or 3 million people were killed by their own government,
yes.
Pol Pot, and the Khmer Rouge, and so forth. And And so we see that in the relatively short past, lots of people have been killed by a government that has abandoned the concept that your life is sacred because you're made in the image of God. And unfortunately, Sharia law Islam does not believe that men and women are made in the image of God. In Islam, Allah has no image, and Muslim men are superior to infidels and to women. And so we see horrible genocide, as John Kerry called it, taking place in countries where they've abandoned this biblical idea that your life is sacred because it's made in the image of God.
Well, and we've seen the conflict here in this last week in the news with the incident down in Cincinnati Zoo where a small child falls into the gorilla cage, and the authorities had to take out the gorilla because as a male gorilla, he was showing aggression and they could have killed the child, so they had to kill the gorilla. The point is that you hear the comments of people on radio shows and basically talking about the gorilla. There's no question here that the value of life of a child is that greater than an animal. But yet you hear people equating the life and value of an animal over a child's life. I mean, Bill, this is very disturbing because as this current culture and the millennials have this amoral view of life, it will grow to be much more of a concern of what you've talked about, where you can devalue human life and the dignity of an individual, what can happen. We've seen this in societies in the past, in recent memory. Of course, we think of the Holocaust with the Nazis, but the purgings of in China and in with Stalin in Russia, and so where millions were killed because life was devalued. And this is the great concern that we have today. And people of faith with a biblical worldview that man is created in the image of God and is valued and is needing redemption, of course, but that we need to value human life. And so, and as a people, we need to turn to God.
Well, the D-Day orders of General Dwight Eisenhower. This is, again, June 6, 1944. He was the supreme Allied commander, and he was sending nearly 100,000 Allied troops into Europe to march across and defeat Hitler's National Socialist Workers' Party. People forget the Nazi is National Socialist Workers' Party. So here we have candidates that are saying they want socialism. Anyway, here's Dwight Eisenhower. He says, "You are about to embark on a great crusade. The eyes of the world are upon you. The hopes and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you. You will bring about the elimination of Nazi tyranny over the oppressed peoples of Europe. Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well-trained, well-equipped, battle-hardened. He will fight savagely. Let us all beseech the blessing of Almighty God upon this great and noble undertaking." Now, that was his order. In his order, he acknowledges, "Let us beseech the blessing of Almighty God on this great and noble undertaking." And again, it's fascinating references to faith from not that long ago. You know, you look at Europe, it has gone from a Judeo-Christian past, right? It used to all be Catholic and then a Protestant Reformation with Jewish neighborhoods. And then Europe went into a secular neutral with the French Revolution. And, you know, the German philosophers and their higher criticism of the Bible and this detracting from Bible values. And Napoleon spread this French secularism all around Europe. And the reason that they spread the metric system, because it was the Europeans were using other methods of measuring. And they said that 10 was the number of man, 10 fingers and 10 toes. So they had a 10-hour day, 10 days in a week. They called it a decade week, with 100 minutes to the hour, 100 seconds to the minute. Why did they do all that? Because they didn't want a seven-day week, because the seven-day week goes back to God. And so they wanted a 10-day week. And so the French Revolution, they made 1792 the new year one. They didn't want done in the year of the Lord like our Constitution. And there was this effort to de-Christianize Europe, and it worked. And Europe went from their Judeo-Christian past into the secular, free sex, anything goes neutral. It's like the one homosexual in Holland who said, "I only learned how to enjoy my liberties, never defend them." But now we see Europe is going into an Islamic future. So like a car goes from drive in the neutral before it goes into reverse, Europe's gone from Judeo-Christian to secular, gay, and now it's going into Islamic. So the whole secular gay agenda is, in effect, a transition phase. It's a temporary phase. It's a cutting of the ties with the Christian past. So they go into the schools and they teach their kids that if there is a God, he is so messed up, he's put in men and women's bodies, and you have to do operations to fix it. And if that behavior is not a sin, arguably there are no sins. And if there are no sins, you certainly don't need a Savior. So they're undermining all Christian theology. And Jesus said, if you cause one of these little ones who believes in me to stumble, it's better that a millstone be put around your neck and you be thrown in the depths of the sea. Here we have Christians in America that are trying to be more Christian than Jesus. They're wanting to be quote-unquote tolerant, but they're allowing. It has very little to do about bathrooms and very little to do about gay weddings. It has everything to do about what is being taught in kindergarten and in first grade, second grade. You know, it's a software program. I was once loading software on a new computer, and then I went to church, and they were having a baby dedication, and the pastor was telling the parents to raise the child in God's Word. And I thought to myself, he's telling them to load God's software on that cute little blank hard drive.
Yes.
In other words, the kids, you know, your spirit, mind, and body. So your mind is like a super fancy computer. It's more than that, but it's at least that. And your body's like the computer case, which makes it silly for people to argue over what color the computer case is. It's like, it doesn't matter what color the case is. It's what operating system are you using, right? And so you have parents and schools that can put God's Word and say, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Or people want to put malware and spyware and viruses on these little kids' brains. And they target them. And they say, well, gee, if you have a normal feeling of, you know, you want to hold hands with your little girlfriend and skip down the street, well, maybe you're a lesbian. Or if you're a boy going through that young, you know, adolescent stage where you like to play with your boyfriends and, ooh, girls have cooties and, you know, oh, well, if you don't like girls, maybe you're gay. And they put this virus, they put this, these plant these seeds into their brains at this very vulnerable age. It's like child abuse.
That's right. And what the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so we need to understand the brainwashing that they're wanting to do in the public schools. We're talking to Bill Fetter of the American Minute. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back on the other side. Don't go away.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
And we're back with Bill Fetter, and we have about 3.5 minutes left with Bill. And again, if you'd like more of information of Bill Fetter and the American Minute, you want to go to www.americanminute.com. You can sign up for his daily email message. Also, many of his books are listed on his website. Bill, you're going to be with us here in Northeast Ohio in July, mid-July. How can people contact you if they wanted to schedule you for their church?
Well, thank you. My website is AmericanMinute.com, AmericanMinute.com, and I do send out a daily email called American Minute. And then I have a toll-free number. It's 888-USA-WORD, 888-USA-WORD, and would love to speak. I've got many different talks with PowerPoints and some on the history of the U.S. and Islam, one very popular one on how the most common form of government in world history is a king. A Pharaoh, Caesar, Kaiser, Sultan, Tsar, or a dictator or a communist leader, power wants to concentrate into the hands of one person. And when America's founders had the chance to set up a government, they wanted to run as far away from a king as possible, and they put the power in the hands of the people. But unfortunately, after every crisis, we see a gradual reconcentrating of power back into the hands of fewer and fewer people. And then you throw into the mix people like Machiavelli and Hegel and Saul Alinsky, that have noticed that in times of crises, people surrender their freedoms. And so their idea is, let's speed this along by creating crises. and sending in community organizers and labor organizers and agitators and agent provocateurs, provoking agents. Their goal? Create really bad crises so that everyone will beg the government to come in and restore order. But when the government does, they'll come down the street with their militarized police and their armored personnel carriers, and they'll go house to house collecting everybody's guns. And yeah, they'll restore order. But when the dust settles, you'll have fundamentally transformed your country from the people ruling themselves back to a king.
And there, you know, and this is so disconcerting, Bill, and a great concern, because we see these things being suggested, for instance, in Chicago, with federal authorities going in because of the high crime rate and the shootings that are going on in Chicago. And so I agree with you. This is a great concern in our country today.
Yeah, they call it a Strong Cities Initiative, started after Baltimore and Ferguson. And so the thought is all these Syrian Muslim refugees being brought into America with absolutely no background checks being brought in. And they're spread out systematically into cities all around the country. Somebody's working an agenda here. Nobody, I've been to these cities, Spartanburg, South Carolina, and part Charlotte, Florida. They're not asking for these immigrants. What's happening? Well, the thought is, are we being set up for an Arab Spring? Maybe simultaneous Baltimore's, Ferguson's, and rioting, maybe building to a head before the next election. And then somebody says, well, the president needs to step in and declare this a national emergency. Well, if that happens, then we have fundamentally transformed our country.
Well,
from the people ruling ourselves back to a king.
We're talking.
There is hope. And
that's right. And Bill's going to be with us in July. And again, if you're the third caller right now, you can get Bill's book, America's God and Country. Call 330-887-1922, third caller, and we'll send you out Bill's book, America's God and Country. Bill, thanks for being on the program today. Thank you for the inspiration of the American Minute. And again, my friend, we'll rejoice together when we'll be in Washington for the dedication of the D-Day landing prayer as it's added to the memorial sometime in the next year or so. We'll keep you updated on that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, God bless you. That, again, is Bill Fetter of the American Minute. And if you missed any of tonight's program, you want to go to our website at ohioca.org, and you can hear the entire broadcast in its entirety. We'll hear you next week. God bless.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.